listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Everybody, my name is Brent Atwolf, and this is the Live Again. And guess what? We're live. And I'm hearing a reverb here, so if you are too, let me know. We're going to take live call-ins today, and we appreciate if you're in our queue, because people started calling in about a half an hour ago. So don't get frustrated if you're listening to this on your streaming station. And we appreciate if you'll just hold on. In our chat room, we already had a huge queue of chats going up. So what we're going to do is we're going to do live and then chat and live and then chat. Now, we're going to limit these calls to, you know, 2-3 minutes, because the idea is to help a lot of people and to help you move forward and to educate you. So your personal questions we may skip over, because it's not fair for Susan to listen about a reading for Tootsie. And we want to have everybody to learn something from our show. So we're going from 3 to 5 today. Keep calling in if you can't get in line, because they've backed up for a long time, and we'll look forward to talking with you. All right. I was answering Java Girl's question, and you said that your heart remains empty, although your pet has given you great comfort with her signs, and though your heart is empty because of the fursuit. Well, we're going to talk about pet loss grief more on our November show, but here's the most important thing. Don't focus on the deadness of the pet suit. Now, I know that hugging the fur and putting your nose in it and smelling their warm, fuzzy body is wonderful, and having their eyes look at you and their little wiggle bottom go, but you have to skip over, if you can, the part, the speed bump in your mind. The most important thing is to separate the fursuit from the living energy. And the more you do that, the more signs you'll get. Talk to them as if they're alive and well, because they are. And you want to ask them if you can see them. And you want to be able to ask her to touch and feel her. Now, if you want to do that, we have techniques in my book, After Death Signs, that will allow you in the privacy of your home to be able to touch, see, and feel your pet if you have those innate gifts. Even if you don't, you'll be able to ask how to receive signs and how to see her in your dreams. All right, we're going to take a break and go to our sponsors.
Sit. Stay. We'll be right back after a short pause. Well, 4 to be exact.
Are you confused by the overwhelming number of supplements for your dog? Developed by a veterinarian, Dr. Baker's all-natural canine system saver is designed to address many of the common problems your dog faces today, including inflammatory diseases, arthritis, hip dysplasia, geriatric problems, and more. Restore and maintain your dog's health with Dr. Baker's all-natural canine system saver. Order 2 bottles today and receive 20% off plus free shipping. Visit caninesystemsaver.com.
It's designerpetsweaters.com. Hand-knitted designer sweaters for your precious pup or cool cat. Beautiful couture patterns for your pets, including custom-knitted formal wear, casual wear, yachting, and even sports-themed. Many designer pet sweaters include feathered tammy hats, top hats, and a lot of sparkle. Each sweater includes leg loops, front paw sleeves, and leash opening. Visit designerpetsweaters.com to order your 4-legged fashions today. Your pets will stay warm for the winter and be runway ready. Large or small, we fit them all. designerpetsweaters.com.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
We're back, and we're back to the chat board, and we've had some problems here since this is our first run at this, so we appreciate your patience. Java Girl had asked a question that she has health issues, and would that prevent her pet from returning? No. If you have a soul's contract with your pet, there is nothing other than your free will choice in choosing to move it to another incarnation of yours that will dissuade or stop the animal reincarnation process. So hope that answers your question. All right, we're going to go right back over to our boards, and we have a caller that says, I'd really like to speak to you. Well, the number's up there, so you got to use the number in our chat room, and you'll be able to call us, and that number is 877-385-8882. For all of you listeners out there, I really appreciate your patience. Thank you so very much. We're just having all sorts of little new glitches. Hello, we're live. Who am I speaking
with? Hi, is this Ms. Upwater?
Yes, this is. With whom am I speaking?
My name is Terry Baker. And my
Caroline, you had asked a personal question on your iChat about your dog's purpose, and that's in our October show. So we hope that you'll call us back in October, and we'll deal with it then. But that's also a personal question, and that's considered a personal reading. So we're answering questions that helps everybody, and we're not doing personal readings on our show.
Oh, so what question can I ask today?
Well, the show is about afterlife signs, about general pet loss, and about reincarnation.
Oh, well, can I ask if my pet will be reincarnated?
No, that's a personal question, and that requires a personal reading. We can talk about reincarnation and the reincarnation process, but we're trying to educate and help a lot of people with questions that will benefit all, and I look forward to seeing you earlier, I believe, at the first of the next month.
Okay, then, so we can talk about the process of reincarnation.
Yes.
Is that what you said?
Yes.
Today?
If you'd like to ask a question, yes. You've asked several, and we need to limit the questions to one per caller.
Well, how do I know if the process is going to take place?
Well, one of the things you need to understand about the process is it's a soul's contract, and we're having a show on soul's contract in October.
So is there something you can tell about what I'm going through when you talk to me, or how does this process work?
The process works that each caller calls in, and we limit them to one question, and then we discuss that question, but it's not about their particular pet. And so we talk about the process itself, and we talk about how it affects you and how it doesn't affect you. So I think the best thing to do is to get one question about the process and then give us a holler back.
Okay, then. Thank you, Ms.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it, Caroline. Bye-bye. See you soon.
Okay. You ready for something from the chat room? Question from the chat room?
I certainly am.
Let's see. Auntie Kim wants to see if you can talk a little bit more about memory moments.
Okay. Memory moments are a special time when your pet will come to you and create a different characteristic behavior than they normally have and would not come and be around the parent. And she kept going, what is wrong with my pet? I don't understand this. Well, interestingly enough, it was about a week later, she took the dog to the groomers, went to work, and came back, and the dog had passed away at the groomers. And what had happened was the pet had given her the memory moment of separating its energy from her the week before, but the owner didn't know it because it was a sudden death. Now, a lot of pets who are going through a long illness, we had a cat that had never come out from under the bed, was never purring, and was not having any social interaction with her owner. And what happened is the night pre-passing, the cat, for the first time in 3 months, crawled up in its owner's lap, laid there, and quietly purred and went to sleep. And later that night, it passed. Another time, there was a Jack Russell Terrier that just came up, jumped up on the side of the sofa, and just stared into its owner's eyes for a prolonged time. And it was a behavior that wasn't normal, but the owner knew it was sick, but she didn't know it was an aberrant behavior from the characteristic behavior that your pet usually displays prior to their passing. Hi there. With whom am I speaking?
Hello. Is it Fran?
I think it is, but with all these technical difficulties, I'm beginning to wonder. Go ahead.
Fred, can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear me?
Yes, Fred. Fred, God bless you. On 9/11, my love of my life, my little Yorkie passed, and I was seeking out solace. And I found you, and you are my biggest blessing. I've just ordered your books, and I haven't received them yet. And I said, I'm so blessed that you have this radio show today. And I'd like to ask you a question.
I'm listening.
Brent, I'd like to ask about signs, since my pet just left on Sunday.
Yes.
So I'm looking for signs. Could you help me with that? What are some signs I may receive? Can you just share with me some signs that we can look for?
Okay, first of all, this is the most important thing, and while you were telling me this, my heart just sort of clumped up. I couldn't even talk if I were you and my pet passed on Sunday, so my heart goes out to you, and I, okay, can you hear me? You have to let me know. Okay, like I said, this first show, we're having a little technical glitches, so hang in there. The most important thing for you to know, and anybody listening out there to know, is that signs can start the minute an animal is transitioning. The minute they slip out of their fursuit, even if the needle is still in their arm from at the vet's, they can start sending you signs. So the first thing is expect signs immediately. Now, for those of you who said, well, I've been grieving for 3 weeks and never seen a sign, as I've said often in my videos, grief pushes away, major grief pushes away signs. And one of the things to help get signs from your Yorkie is to ask her to give them, because your Yorkie's sitting up there going, hey, Mom, I'm alive and well, and I am just fine. You need to believe in it. And instead of saying, nah, that can't be, you want to say, bring it on, sort of like Bob Barker. Come on down, Yorkie, you know, and get her to speak to you and ask her to show you, because they're going to honor your grief and they're going to honor your getting used to them not being in a fursuit before they'll just jump out at you, unless it's a really strong connection. And if you had a really strong connection, it was like a soul pet, then start asking for signs and expecting them and walk into the room going, okay, I know you're in here, let me know it. Or I'm going to sleep tonight, make some noise, or wake me up in the middle of the night, or come to see me in my dreams. And you want to ask. Now, here's the key. They're going to sit up there, and they're going to choose when and how. So don't limit them. That's why I'm not going to say, well, you're going to see a feather, you're going to see a rainbow, you're going to see their name in lights, you're going to see something. I don't want you to think limits. I want you to think limitless. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And when I call out, his name was Loverboy, am I affecting negatively my other pet?
No, not at all. No, because you're talking to two different electromagnetic energies.
But when I call out Loverboy and I have his sister here at home that's alive with me, and she's looking, is that okay?
Perfectly okay. Because, and I'm going to do a video on that. That's a fabulous question. Thank you. It's a perfect combination, because Loverboy can be right there and his companion will be able to see her. See what I'm saying?
I love that.
Because, they will know that, okay, here's Loverboy, and they will probably know quicker than you, because animals live on intuitive instinct and electromagnetic energy, and that's what's the most important thing. And they'll be able to sense it and feel it quicker than you will be able to. But just keep on talking and keep, that's our little chime that says, I love it, it's a cowbell. It says we got to move to another pasture. So I hope that answered your question. Watch our videos, and we'll look forward to seeing you. Thank you so much.
Yes,
Brent,
are you there?
Yep,
Brent,
big hugs. Yep, big hugs.
My daughter is here. May I pass the phone with a question?
No, well, she'll have to call back or get into chat, because we have to, it's fair. We have to be fair to everybody.
We've got lots of people with questions in the queue.
Help my heal my heart.
I couldn't hear you say.
Thank you so much for helping to heal my heart.
Thank you.
I watched your video, and I anticipate your book.
Thank you so much. Love to you. Bye-bye. All right, we're over to the chat room.
All right. So we've got a question from May Mander, and she asked it a while ago. But I thought that I might actually, because it's a little bit personal, I thought I might actually turn it into something a little more general, because I know this is a question that a lot of people have. She had mentioned that she adopted a new dog after her dog transitioned. Okay. Nine months ago, and then very attached to the new dog. And since that, she seems to have stopped receiving signs of visitations in her dreams from her deceased pet. And so she wants to know if that's with the shoe, is the deceased pet upset with her? And I know this is a question that I had as well.
Well, that's a fabulous question. And I'd like to address that in a video again. So save that question. That's a good one. Anytime that you have a new pet, does not mean you're going to stop signs from your old pet, because in your mind, it's your mind that sets that limit. Okay, let's say that again. It's your mind that sets that limit, because you think, okay, I've got a new one, I'm paying attention to it, they're going to go. Wrong. That's human emotion. That's human, sort of human competitiveness, or human, you know, if I put my focus over here, I can't focus over here. Your pet is electromagnetic living energy living spirit on the other side. And because they're living spirit on the other side, they're everywhere 24/7. So your pet may be sitting there going, I don't like this way this new one eats. Hey, that new one should not be sitting over on my spot. And in that case, sometimes it'll go into oversouling, which we can talk about in another show. But the point being is the signs don't stop. If you were just getting signs in dreams, it's not limited to that. And don't limit your mind to that. Think about, well, your pet may be sitting beside your new pet while he eats, or you may have your new pet on the left-hand side of your lap and your old pet will be on the right-hand side of your lap. So that's what's important, is to think about your other pet as just being a new addition to your life and your deceased pet as being a new form of living energy. So you just got two on earth and one in heaven, and all three of them are just as viable and just as alive. Does that help, Diana? Hello. Are you over there?
Yeah.
Did that help?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I just wanted to be sure that we covered it. And
yes. Thank you. Do you want another question from the chat room, or do you have somebody on the phone?
I believe we got a caller, so let's take our caller, and then the next we'll go back to the chat room. Hi there. Where are you from? From the telephone company, right? Okay. Once again, we're having trouble with our life. Hi there. Yay, a live person. Where are you from?
I'm from Chino, California.
Well, welcome today.
Thank you.
What's your question?
My question to you is, if you see your cat in a vision, different than they were in life, but you know if that's your cat, are they letting you know that they're coming back and that they, what they will look like, or are they just stopping by to tell you they're okay?
I think you have two different answers there. Answer one, and thank you for this question. Great question, by the way. Number one, if you see it in a dream, when an animal presents in a dream, it normally presents in the most recognizable form to you, okay? So the first thing is your soul recognized it, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so you know it was your cat.
Now, the second thing is, it wasn't really in a dream.
Oh, I thought you said it was a dream.
My eyes were closed, and I was in a very relaxed state, and all of a sudden, I saw the cat walk into my room.
Cool?
And sit down in front of my door.
Isn't that cool? It's really good. That's a cool state. Yeah. Okay. So when they come in like that, they're going to come in as a recognizable form. But because your pet changed up their form a little bit, it also could mean that that will be a form that they will be sending you to make your life full again. So it doesn't guarantee that it's going to be a comeback kid or reincarnated pet, but it does also indicate they may come back or send you another cat that has markings similar to that. Not necessarily dead on, but similar to. But the most important of all was that your soul recognized it was your cat's energy. That was more important than anything.
Okay.
And being in that state, that's the best state. When you're between sleep and wake, it's like a little vignette state. And that's absolute best. Now, here's what's the most important thing for you to do the next time this occurs, because if you can do it once, and I want everybody out there to listen to this, if you can do it once, you always can do it. So I'd like you very much to say, when you see that again, why are you here? What do you want me to know? Because there's a reason they're there, and they want you to know something, and that's why they showed up. So grill them, as they say, not on, you know, like on charcoal, but I mean, grill them and say, why are you here? What do you want to know? What do you want to show me? And then you can always say to them, show me more, show me more, show me more. And they will. Sometimes it'll take two or three visits. Sometimes, you know, when I'm doing a reading and I'm looking at a live pet spirit on the other side, I say to them, show me more, tell me more. What do you want me to know? What do you want me to tell them? And it's like we get a conversation going. But a lot of people, when they're first experiencing it, they go, ooh, what's that mean? Well, ask the pet. They wouldn't have showed up if they didn't want you to know. So does that help?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. And listen, when you find out what the answer is, I hope you'll share it in our Facebook group.
I will. Thank you very much.
Uh-huh. Have a great day.
Brent, do you want to go to the chat room?
Yes, ma'am. What we got over
there? So we had an interesting question. Brent, this is from Java Zerlin. Again, if you had a soul's contract with your pet before you both come to Earth, does that mean that you are already predestined to the number of incarnations your pet can have? Is there a way to know how many incarnations a pet can have?
Love this question. A+ for whoever wrote that one. How do you like that? I'm quiet for a minute. Okay, the first, I didn't know Brent could even do that. Yeah, I can. I don't know how many incarnations a pet can have unless they show me. So when I do a reading, I ask, how many incarnations are you going to be? And then they show me what they're going to be in each of the future incarnations. So I know that that information is available in all future energy. But I don't know if you, when you immediately come to Earth, you can't say, okay, I'm only going to have one incarnation with a pet unless you have spoken with that pet. Now, I know that I didn't even know about reincarnation when Friend first came in. And then now that I've got Friend with a B on the bottom, this is his fifth incarnation, and I didn't even know about it. And this is his last. So when he leaves his fursuit, I don't get benefit of him other than in living spirit form. So the best and truthful way I know how to answer it is, unless you look into the future energy and read the future energy, you won't know how many incarnations you're going to have with that pet, because I never get access to that information unless I never get access to that information. And when they said, is my pet coming back? I said to them, no, he's not coming back to you in this incarnation. And the owner said to me, well, is the pet coming back in another incarnation? And the pet said, yes, I'm going to come back as an incarnate for her grandchildren. So when we looked into the future energy, we saw that that pet was coming back in future incarnations with the grandchildren, but not with the lady who owned it in that incarnation. So that's the way I've been able to see how many incarnations are coming back. But if it's contracted previously on the other side, in time, it will come to pass. Does that help?
I think that's a great one. Thank you.
Uh-huh. All right. We have a live caller.
Yes. Hello, Brent.
Hi.
Hi, Brent. My name is Jessica, and I'm calling about, I rescued two wiener dogs. They were brothers, one from an older litter, about 3 years ago. And right after I got, right after I rescued them, and at that time I was going through the worst time in my life. I had an awful divorce that was very traumatic. I was losing my business and moving all at once in my life. It was all
a lot of transition going on.
I know, and I remember what, and my ex-husband was a very, like, controlling kind of, like, sociopath in hiding. You know, no one would know, but he actually took my two Malteses from me just to kind of be mean in the divorce. And I remember I said to God, please, God, I didn't fight him. I just let him take them because I couldn't fight this man. He was very powerful where we lived. He was a very powerful, had a powerful position. And I prayed one morning, God, please bring me beautiful creatures, your creatures, just bring me them. And I said this prayer, and 4 hours later, I was at the doctor's office and I was eavesdropping. I overheard my doctor in the hallway saying they'd found these two dachshunds at a church and they were starving and hungry, and he had taken them in, but he didn't have room for them. And I poked my head out and I said, I'll take them. I said, like, it's like the angels pushed me to say, I'll take them, you know. And here I was living in a hotel and going through a divorce and transitioning. And I said, I will take them. And anyways, my question is, shortly after I rescued these two dogs, it was like they rescued me, you know.
That's right. Yeah, I was going to tell you that, because you were in the same place. You were void of all the things they were void of. You were homeless because your heart had no home. You were hungry because your soul wasn't being fed. And you were basically taking care of them as they were rescuing you, sort of like in this movie Pretty Woman.
Exactly. And the day that I rescued them, I still had possession of our house that I lived in with my husband and I shared. So I thought I had a big yard for them. So I didn't realize that I was just about to lose the house because he was down and dirty in the courts and we fought over the house. And so shortly after I was, I rescued them, I then was living in my rental car, you know, and staying in hotels. And then a lot of hotels wouldn't take you if you had dogs. So I remember my priority was keeping them alive. And then I stayed with a girlfriend and she couldn't have the dogs in the house. And I never once felt like I was going to get rid of them. I was already in love with them. And so it became all about keeping these dogs okay. And I was less worried about myself. Well, anyways, there came a point when I realized I couldn't keep shuffling these dogs around in the car, and it was summertime. So I prayed and prayed, what can I do? And I asked a friend who was kind of like an acquaintance friend. He was, he had a backyard, and I prayed, well, can I leave them with him? And I didn't know what to do, but I didn't have a place for the dogs, and it was just going to be for a few days until I could go stay at a family, you know, cabin. Anyway, so I left my two dogs with this man, and 24 hours later, I get a phone call from him, and he's frantic, and he says, Jessica, That's my name. One has died and the other is dying. And that was the call I got from him. And I said, what? And I was already madly in love with these two little wiener dogs. And one was Mango and the other was Joseph.
Okay, so what is your question for this?
My question is this, just to give you the history. Basically, one died right after, 1 month after I rescued them, one died. And it was kind of a shock because I had just made the decision to trust someone. And so I was left with Joseph. And I've had Joseph now for 3 years. He's a wiener dog mix. Good, amazing. He's my love of my life. And I know he came in. And my question is, I dealt with a lot of grief. And I wasn't even able to unpack the ashes out of the box that they gave them to me in because I just have been dealing with a lot of grief. And what happened shortly after Mango died was something, what you might call a phenomena, which I've heard you speak of, which confirmed that it's true. And I just discovered you about a week ago when my mom lost her dog Loverboy. She actually called in. But what started happening was amazing. I was living up in the mountains in a cabin, and I was using my camera a lot on my iPhone. And I started to see, and I was taking pictures of Joseph, and I had lost Mango. Mango had died, Mango, his brother. And I started to see a green orb in all the pictures. And then I started to take videos.
So your question would be what the green orb is?
Well, no, I know it's Mango, and he was dancing around. And then my question is twofold. One is, part one, is I started to notice sometimes Joseph will literally, it's like Mango's soul is jumping in Joseph, and he will actually act the same way. He'll make his paw like a little gay boy.
Okay.
Little,
all right. So the
like
question a, about and, that, we've got to focus you now. Come on.
The question is Mango coming into my Joseph, and are they sharing a body? Because I feel like they've actually agreed to share one body.
Okay.
My
that's
second part of the question.
All right. Go ahead.
Okay. And then my second part of the question is, I can't bring myself to leave Joseph behind. I live in Las Vegas. It's very hot in the summer, and I can't bring myself to socialize or to go out.
In my
You're
book,
Outer
Reincarnation, there's a whole chapter on oversouling, and we did videos on oversouling. So if you go to my website where it says TV Show Index, well, I'm doing the best I can. We're having technical issues. Website where it says TV Show Index, and there is a section on oversouling. Okay, there's a section on YouTube on our oversouling, and I would check that out because I think that the oversouling process is occurring because it's in and out. And then the second part about leaving Joseph is you can put him in a seamless mirror cocoon of Christ's white light to protect him, and you can leave him at any point in time. So if you go read the protection prayer, I think it's video 53, 55, somewhere in there, or 45, the protection prayer, you can put that around Joseph when you leave, and you can be totally and completely safe and know that the only thing that would occur would be anything that was already preset in your incarnation to occur. So I don't think that your pet would want you to limit your life, because if you do that, you're going to not be all you are and all you can be. And you've suffered through a lot, and these dogs came to rescue you and be a part of your life. But they want it to be about love and happiness and joy. And that's what they've brought to you. And that's why they're trying to be around you. And don't self-limit yourself and self-sequester yourself. You see what I'm saying?
Yes. And what you're saying about the oversouling, I was so, that's why I tuned into you, because
Brent,
you
we're
go,
really going to need to yeah, go. So sorry. We're really going to need to take their calls just piling up.
Does that help you at all?
Yes, that did help me. And also, I just want to say for any callers out there with the oversouling, it has been my observation for 3 years that Joseph and Mango, like Mango's still happy, but he's coming into my Joseph's body, and I actually see the look in his eyes, and I know Mango's there. So it's like they're sharing a body, and that's what I've experienced, and you're the first person.
Isn't that wonderful?
Brent, we've got to take the next question.
So thank you for sharing that with us.
Brent.
Come visit us on other shows. This is fabulous. Bye.
And Brent, I ordered 3 of your books online. Thank you. I'm so
thank
excited
you.
To
Big
read
Big hugs.
Them.
I'll see you on next show.
This one came in, it was a little bit specific, and I know that you're going to be addressing grief in November. But
right.
She had sort of a general question about extended grief and guilt in her pet's final days. And just, she was asking if you had sort of heard of happening, a sort of mental breakdown. And
yes, okay, well, number one, first of all, I'd like you to go visit our podcast on Pet Life Radio, because we have several on grief, and we have Frankie Johnson, who is our resident bereavement counselor. She's a professional pet loss counselor, and she'll be able to help you with that. If you want to join our Facebook group, it's a global group, and you can message Frankie Johnson. She's a professional bereavement counselor. And I think she answered your question by saying, you know, your brain shuts down and your mind shuts down when you go through something traumatic. I just did a video on it. It'll be coming up soon. And we'll be further addressing this in our next show. Now, we also have on our Bosco Baby says, Brent, when you're talking to an animal about reincarnation, can they tell you that they aren't coming back when they really are going to? Well, first of all, Bosco Baby, since I don't have your name, when an animal is coming back, they don't change their mind because it's a soul contract about soul evolution. And so you want to know if factually that is going to occur. If the pet tells you yes, it's going to be yes. You just have to determine the time and when is the most appropriate learning curve that it's going to be in your life. So Bosco Baby, it says they're not going to tell you they aren't coming back when
all
they
right,
really are.
Tell you that they aren't coming
so,
back.
So, you know, they're not going to mess with you. Yeah, I mean, they're going to tell you they're coming back if they're coming back. Now, here's the bad part. There are a lot of people who say, my pet's coming back, my pet's coming back, my pet's coming back. No, they're not coming back. And that person is so filled with hope that they can't see the energy. And you have to see the energy. A pet that's coming back has the same signature soul pattern energy as does the pet that is returning. And a lot of people can't see that. I mean, I can look at it. It's like overlaying two snowflakes and they match perfectly. So, number one, a pet will not tell you it's not coming back when it is. They're not going to jerk you around. Number two, a lot of people, because I pioneered this whole pet thing about 20 years ago, get all worked up and they think my pet's coming back and they're so caught up in hope that it doesn't, they just can't see through the mist, okay? And a lot of times those pets aren't coming back. And only 30 to 40% of pets are coming back, okay? And you go, where do you get that figure? My guides gave it to me because it's about learning. It's about the learning curve. And what's most important for you to think about is if your pet does come back, you've got to watch them die all over again. And a lot of people don't think about that. So we're going to take a break from our questions right now and go to our sponsors.
Sit. Stay. We'll be right back after a short pause. Well, four to be exact.
Retrievers, Labradors, Goldens are the main breeds that come through our door, but we'll train anything with four legs and a tail. My husband and I own a kennel. We train hunting dogs and also have a boarding and grooming business. And our dogs, they're athletes, and we feed them very quality food. You can't get enzymes in a commercial dog food because they cook it at such a high heat that so much important nutrition is just cooked right out of it. But adding Dynavite to their diet has every single dog in my kennel looking better than they have ever looked.
DINOVITE.com.
859-428-1000.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
The digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
Dynavite is nutrition.
If you want the dog to be healthy, you got to feed it something healthy.
DINOVITE.
Dynavite's the bomb.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
Dynavite for life.
DINOVITE.com.
Hi, I'm Dana Humphrey, the founder of Whitegate PR. We have been specializing in PR and marketing in the pet industry for over 10 years. If you have a pet product or service you would like to promote, give us a call. We can help create awareness for your brand on TV, radio, magazines, newspapers, and blogs. Feel free to reach me directly at 619-414-9307 or learn more on our website at whitegatepr.com or follow us on Facebook.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
All right, now we're back to Diana. Thank you, everybody, so very much for working with us on our technical difficulties today. By the second hour, we should have it all in gear. So for those of you who are on our inaugural launch, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Happy dance, happy dance, happy dance for hanging with us. All right, now what you got over there in the chat cafe?
Let's see, I'm just getting some questions, something that came a little bit earlier. There's a couple about guilt, so we already covered that. And let's see, they keep coming in, and we're just trying to keep track of them. Oh, talking about other two dogs having a difficult time with the loss. And I know you addressed that a little bit earlier, but seeing dogs watching transition due to a medical term, I don't know, but I guess the question is around the other dogs and how they're dealing with the change in routine and change in the home.
Okay. It's very interesting that you would bring that up. We did a radio show on that. I'd like you to go into our archives, how pets deal with other pets' death. And we also did a YouTube video on that. So go check it out on our YouTube channel, and you'll see that the most important thing is they handle it in several different ways. Number one, they'll just grieve and go away, and as in, you know, go away, I mean walk to the other room. In other words, if you have the opportunity to let the pets smell the deceased fursuit, then because they're animals, they will totally and completely understand that their comrade has changed to living energy form. And that's one way to help. Another way is there are pets that have come in as sisters and brothers, and they do grieve. I had a dog that tried to dig up his buddy, this cat, three or four times. He'd go to the grave and try and dig the cat's body up out of the grave because he didn't understand why the fursuit was in the grave. And there are times where you have to give a pet literally some antidepressants. But usually, if you give them extra love and extra attention in the first week or so, which is what we stated in our previous archived radio show, you'll find that they'll do okay. Because animals understand death and moving forward. And I think you have to also understand death and moving forward because animals pick up on your energy too. So if you're still in mourning mode, take them all with you when you mourn. And then if you can, get over that speed bump and then go outside and play with the living energies and include the new living energy of your deceased pet. And that way they'll all understand that the transition has occurred. You're paying due respects by your grief, but at the same time, you're also moving forward with the living energy. So I hope that that helps, and we'll look forward to our next question. What is it, Miss Diana, from the chat room, if you'll read it to me?
Great. Well, there's one. I've heard people seeing sparkles or spirit leave their baby when they pass. Why do only some people see this, and why does it look different to different people? And that's from Susan in Austin.
All right. Yay, Susan. Okay, the reason it looks different is because everybody's mind has a different idea of what it is. But the bottom line is you are looking at electromagnetic energy, all right? And when I was doing readings, I would watch the pet's energy slide out of the body, and it looks like a cloud sliding out. Even hospice says lots of times they'll see people slide out the top of their shoulders, and it looks sort of like a cloud. So sometimes when they'll say sparkler form or white energy or whatever, it's really interesting describing it, but it looks like it's basically electromagnetic energy, and it's how your mind associates it. The reason I say it's a sparkler form is because it does sparkle. It's iridescent. And when an animal is showing up in full ghost energy form, it's like steam that's see-through, because I don't want to say ghost so it all goes, we're talking paranormal about all this now. No, a ghost really is an apparition or a steam form. And when I say steam, because people understand you can look through steam. There's not many apparitions in electromagnetic form on the other side that look solid. That's the most important thing. And the reason they don't look solid is because if they were solid, they'd be on Earth in a dense, solid person or pet suit. You follow me? So, when you say, I see a steam form, I see a sparkler form, sometimes when an electromagnetic energy like Mike, when he tried to show up in front of me and stand there in full body form, all of his little sparkler steam form just started sparkling. And that's because the electromagnetics were working. Have you ever seen a spider put up a web? You'll see a string and it goes up and then all of a sudden it'll start sparkling because it's iridescent. Well, a lot of times when a apparition starts taking form, because it's activating all the electromagnetic energy, it'll look more sparkly and twinkly and active. It's like a sparkler. It's literally taking, you know, coming into a form, all right? And then usually once they're in a form, people say, well, it looks like a cloud or a see-through steam. But it's usually something that is very vapor-esque, you would say. And it's usually bright and shiny. And the bright and shiny comes from whether it's bright and shiny steam or bright and shiny apparition form. It's because of the operative electromagnetics going, okay? It's because the electromagnetics are working, and when they're working, they're shining and twinkling. Does that help?
That makes sense. Right. A lot of sense.
Thank you. You are welcome. And now we're going to take our caller. Yes, ma'am. Who are we talking to today?
Hi, my name is Jessica.
Hey, Jessica. How are you?
I'm good. I have a question, and I've watched a lot of your YouTube. I've ordered your book, but I haven't heard you mention this, and I think that's why I need clarification.
Great. I love new questions. Go ahead.
Okay. And maybe you have, because I've heard about Mike and that story of your relationship with Mike and all that you went through with that and how you finally had your epiphany about that he had left to make it easier on you so you didn't have to suffer through and struggle through watching him suffer, and that you realized that was a blessing that he chose to give you.
You just must have seen my last video. Go ahead.
I've been watching you, Brent, and you've been helping my family.
Thank you.
So I had a similar story that when I was 21, I was a cocktail waitress, and I met Kevin. And Kevin, the moment I met him, the sky parted, and I was in love at first sight, and it just kept going. And he was my, you could call it a twin flame soulmate.
I got it. I got chills all over my body when you said that. I knew what was coming. Yes, ma'am.
Yes. And it was unconditional love. The touch of his hand, it was unconditional love. So I was blessed to be with him for a few years. And he had a sad death when we were younger. He would have just turned 35 just a month ago. But anyway, so what happened was, he and I had gone to a wedding, and we were driving a long drive back to California from a wedding, and it was early in the morning, and he fell asleep at the wheel. I was in the passenger seat, and I was sleeping. When I woke up, the car was slipping, and we landed on the side of the road, and guess what? We were both okay. We had some cuts and bruises, but I had a near-death experience at that time, and I felt like I almost escaped, as you talk about how we have exit points.
Yep.
I felt that was definitely one of my and his exit points, but for some reason I wasn't supposed to go, and for some reason we both dodged that exit point. I didn't want to go, but I have a feeling that was his fate, because about 4 years after that, he was with a friend in the exact same situation, only this time he was in the passenger seat and his friend fell asleep at the wheel, and this time both of them lost their lives in a car accident where they just drove off the freeway. It was very tragic and sudden. And
I'm sorry.
Very young.
Wow. So what does this have to do with pets?
Now, this is where it gets interesting. This is where I need your help. Okay.
All right.
So I dealt with that, the loss of him, and I invoked him in my dreams, and he was still there, and I even could feel him touching me. Shortly after he passed, I could feel him touching me. Well, skip ahead to current time. I rescued two dogs, and something very strange started to happen.
Are you going to tell me you think he's in a dog?
Well, here's what let me give you the evidence, Brent, and then you tell me what you think, because you're
okay,
the expert.
Let me jump right here. A person is not going to down his electromagnetics to be in a pet. Now, there are a lot of people out there who love to be sensational. Like I had this girl call me. She says, oh, my cat's coming as my baby girl. No. And then there's somebody says, oh, my husband is in my pet poodle. No. Okay, let me tell you why. All right, this is the most important part. Here's what everybody forgets. Now, first of all, there is the yogist and Taoist about transmigration. Transmigration, and thank you so much for asking this question. Transmigration believes that a soul goes from a single amoebic cell into the final point of being a human. That is considered transmigration. And for those of you who want to look it up, it's called transmigration. It's the yogic view, in case my Southern gets in the way. Now, here's where people, transmigration goes for eons, over multiple years, hundreds of years, thousands of years. It doesn't start as an amoeba, and 10 years later, it comes out as a human. It doesn't start as an amoeba, and 60 years later, it comes out as human. Here's where the kick is for all the sensationalists and all the drama queens out there. When you're on Earth, you're in an Earth body. An Earth body has to resonate between 68 and 72 megahertz as a human being to have a healthy body, all right? And to have that healthy body, That's called vibrational medicine. You can go look at vibrational medicine. So a pet's body resonates because it's smaller, except for, you know, the whales and things like that. They resonate at a lower frequency. It doesn't mean it's a less frequency. It doesn't mean it's a sicker frequency. It just means it's a frequency. Like your liver has a frequency, your heart has a frequency, your mind has a frequency. That's how an MRI machine or an X-ray machine can determine what to X-ray. It goes to the frequency of the organ it's X-raying. So when you have a human being in a frequency that has achieved, let's say, the 6278 megahertz, like your wonderful fiance did, and then you, let's say, have a dog that comes in, why would your fiance lower his frequency to fit into a pet? Here's what he would do instead. He would oversoul and direct it from heaven. Do you see the difference? Because the earth physics would mean he would have to totally and completely lower all of his electromagnetic vibrational frequencies to pack himself into a pet body, when he could just sit on heaven and have a oversoul agreement with the pet and totally direct it so you think it's him.
Okay, listen to this. Now, you just taught me. Thank you. Now, listen to this. I'm going to give you three things,
okay,
and I'm going to hand it over to you, and you tell me what they mean. Okay, three things.
Do my best.
One, okay, and this is shortly after, this is after he had passed, and then I received this rescue dog. Now, I was thinking about him. I was thinking about Kevin and, you know, probably crying, and then a song came on my iPhone out of nowhere. It started playing, and guess what the song was? It was called, I'd never heard it before. It was called, I Want to Be Your Dog. Okay, right? So this came on, I Want to Be Your Dog. And I thought,
That's the only question we're going to ask today. That's our chat land bell that says, all right, let me answer this right quick. If you had that song, I Want to Be Your Dog, I think that was a sign that could have been orchestrated by Kevin from the other side to let you know that he's going to bring a dog into your life. And so I hope you got the dog, because if he's taking that much time to send you signals to let you know, I want you to be loving, I want you to be happy, I want you to be as joyous as you are, and so, you know, I want you to be my dog, he sends you this message via a song, and then you get a dog in his life, I think that's a perfect example of him giving you a heads up, hey.
Yes, and then I know you have to go, but I want to tell you something, maybe this is going to shock you. I took a picture of my dog, and I was thinking of Kevin, and right before I took the picture, I said to my dog, I don't know why I said this, I said, give it to me. And I know you said, show it to me, but I said, give it to me. I took the picture, and it blew away everyone. Kevin's face was literally in the picture. People can't believe it, and it was attached.
No, see, that's him oversouling. That's oversouling.
Okay, listen, he had his face with a cowboy hat and a thin white cord attached, that the cord went right into my dog's ear. So it was coming
out
of my dog's
ear. Okay, that's just sensationalism. That's sensationalism. It's just oversoling.
Okay.
The cord,
so
I mean,
a lot of people
are going to grab hold to that cord thing to make it into something. But here's the deal. If your dog has a cord in it now, you'd be able to see it. Electromagnetics and earth energy, I'm not trying to take away from this. It's Kevin oversouling him, but the sensationalist will grab hold to, oh, the cord's there. It's like people say, oh, I've got a bad knee because I've got a spear in it from a previous lifetime. Hello. If you finish that life, you finish that life. Now you're in this life. So, you know, even though you say it's a cord, it's him over-imaging to say, I'm oversouling.
Yes.
I'm oversouling your pet, and I think you're very, 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 oh, my God, blessed to have that.
No, and the picture, and it was in my iPhone. I still have the picture, and people
well,
can't
send it to our group.
Yes.
Send it to our group.
I will.
We'd love to. Thank you so much.
I'll send it in. Okay, bye.
Right. Okay. I look forward. Thank you. All right. What's over in the chat country?
Yes, this is a good one. I like this one. This is from Mella. 774,
yep.
How can I ascertain if my transitioned pet is now my spirit guide?
Oh, wow. Hello.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, y'all, Diana, that is our moderator and queen of keeping everything sane over there.
Trying.
Yeah. Well, Diana, I'm going to let you sort of answer that, and I'm going to guide you, because Max is her spirit guide now, and they have a soul contract for her to help people who are grieving and help people realize that the other side can be very, capital V, capital E, capital R, Y, influential on earthlings, i.e. those of us in an earth suit. And Diana, share some of the feelings that you did to create the things that you created so that people know about a spirit guide, and then I'll throw in some others. But give us an example. That's a great one.
Yeah, it is. So feeling is very important. So it's, I mean, it's deep. It's sort of visceral how you feel. When my dog first passed, I was filled with grief, and that was sort of the driver for everything. And then as time went on and I started to get signs from him, I had never experienced anything like that before, and I got some signs from him, and I could tell. I just knew. I felt it. I knew it was him. I could actually feel. I've said it's like Tinkerbell walking on me with the particular sign. And I started to interact with him more. And now he really has sort of driven me to create a group. I created a Facebook page for him.
All right, now let's stop right there. When she says driven to, what she means is inside yourself, when you have a pet as a spirit guide, you just have this, it's a compelling, it's a quiet, knowing, compelling that'll just eat you up unless you get it done. And that's the way guides will do. They'll just keep pushing you until you do it so you can get them out of your body.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's really what it was. In creating the page, it was just deep inside. I wanted to share with the world. And then it really became about pet loss and grieving and healing hearts. And then that has turned into a foundation. And I just felt that he's been with me this entire time, sort of guiding that journey. And you just feel it in the core of your being.
And let me tell you, recently I've been doing more and more readings about animals that have become spirit guides. And Mona, if you're out there, you're one of them. So there are a lot of pets that are coming down that are getting their animals to be spirit guides to help other animals. So what we're going to do is we're going to answer Lindsay's question, then we're going to call this show over, and then we start our next show in about 3 minutes. So our next show will go from 4 to 5, which would be 5 to 6 over across the pond somewhere. Should have put my glasses on before I said that. And let me answer Lindsay's question, because this is wonderful. All right, Lindsay said, she came from chat room country, if animals are separated or taken away from their human, are you still tied to them? I mean, and her example is, she was a teenager and she had two dogs that had to go to live with other pets because of issues they had. So here's the question. When two animals come into your life like that, Lindsay, and you feel a deep connection to them, they were set to be in your life for that appropriate period of time. And what's most important is they never lose that tie to you. Now, people say, well, I got my dog from rescue who'd been with three other people. Well, the one it ends up with in that case would be the pet that was supposed to be with that parent. In Lindsay's case, she felt real connected to them and the dogs were taken away. So maybe the lesson in this is to look and see when you have pets to surround yourself with people that allow them in your life, because she had that connection and they were taken away. So obviously there was a lesson in that learning period that she shared with them, and it doesn't ever take away their connection with you. And the way you, there's just a real current way to say that. When you go sometimes on television, you'll see a soldier who hadn't seen his dog in 6 years and all of a sudden they show him reunited. It's the same wiggle button kisses. Hello. So the point being is, if you ever once have a connection with an animal, even if it was for a short period of time, that was your time to connect and have a learning opportunity and a growth opportunity with that pet. And nothing, keyword, nothing can take that away or change that. So we want to thank you for calling in today and in our chat room. We greatly appreciate you being there. And for those who did it from the very beginning, thank you so much for your patience. We're going to be doing these monthly. I hope you'll enjoy them. And we're having fun doing them. It's just getting all this tech stuff going is a little woohoo. Join our YouTube group. We'd like you to see our Facebook group where we continue these conversations on a basis. We have a whole buffet of subjects down there. And we take a lot of our questions for our videos from there. Thank you so very much. And if you'd like to see and talk to your pet on the other side, get my book, After Death Signs. There's a whole chapter in there. I'll teach you how to control spirits, how to see them, how to ask them, and how to deal with them. We thank Diana and Max for handling the chat room today and making sure the cows come home when they're supposed to. And follow our Facebook group, our events, And you'll be able to see when our next show is. Will be October 13th. We'll do a two-hour show then. And November, we'll also do a two-hour show. So we're going to go get a little water, take a little break, and we'll be back for our second segment between 4 and 5. And both of these will be on podcast if you'd like to listen to the continuum. See you soon. Bye-bye-bye.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.